And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Father, I thank you for every person that's here, those that are watching. Father, I pray that their ears will be open to hear your word, their hearts open, dear Lord, to receive your word. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory for that. Father, thank you for your anointing upon me to deliver your word. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that is present here with us this evening. We would be nothing without him. Nothing without him, but we thank you for his presence. And I say in the name of Jesus, he is very welcome here. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Again, this evening, I'm not so sure how far I will get into this, but we're going to start again. I began this message last week. I ministered it, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago. And I have touched on bits and pieces of it down through the years. But I just want to share some things with you concerning the seven churches of Asia Minor. And like I said, I'm not sure how far I'm going to get. There's an introduction part of this that I want to deal with as well. So praise God. So have your hearts and ears open to receive. Can I get an amen on that? Hallelujah. My subject is Jesus is speaking to the churches. Now, we'll be talking some and ministering some concerning the seven churches of Asia, but you have to understand, Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What he expected from the church yesterday, he expects the same today. Are you listening to me? Amen. He has one church. Some of the church members, and I'm not talking about a facility. I'm talking about right now, I'm talking about the body of Christ. Jesus Christ has one church. Some of them are in heaven already, and some of us are still here in the earth. But we are part of one church, and that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the reason we can be at peace when our loved ones that die in the Lord, we can be at peace and we can continue to rejoice because we know that they are still part of the church like we are part of the church. Amen, and that we will meet again because we are part of the same family. You have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ have part of his family with him there in heaven, and the rest of his family is here on the earth. But can I tell you something? I'm just as much, and you are too, a part of his family while we're still here in the earth, as the ones that's gone on and is living in heaven with him right now. Amen. Understand something. We are part of the same family. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, our citizenship is in heaven. You hear me? Our citizenship is in heaven. Right now, we are in the earth because God has a work for us to do while we are here in the earth. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you have a job? Amen. You have a job. Amen. Now, I know some are retired, and but you understand where I'm coming from. when you're on your job, you are working there on your job, but your job is not your home. Your job is not your home. You are just fulfilling a cause. But while you are at work, you may have family back at the house, but they're still your family. Amen. They're still your family. Praise God. All righty. Turn again to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. The book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Hallelujah. And I want to read to you most likely verse 25, 26, and 27. This is so powerful. Verse 27 says, let me begin at verse 25. Now, I know this is talking about the marriage relationship also, but it's also talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 25, it says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church." Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then it goes on, and that's a good place for the husbands to say amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. But then it goes on to describe Jesus' relationship with the church. It says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church." And what did he do for the church? He gave himself for her. You see that? He gave himself for her. And of course, if you want to just flip back over to the marriage relationship, that's the same mindset that the husband should have towards his wife. Amen. That's called true love. Look at verse 26. It says that, and this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water. How? How? Hallelujah. By the word. That he might do what? Present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And then it goes on to talk concerning the husband. But now you can see from these three verses that the Lord Jesus Christ loves the church. I told you this last week. He loves the church. He loves the church. He loves you. Amen. Glory be to God. And I told you also last week that we in the church, those of us that are part of the church, when I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, we need to learn what the will of the Lord is for us. I read it to you last week. Let's read it again. We're already in Ephesians. So look at verse 17. Well, verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But look at verse 17. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Hallelujah. We're told not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Because we are to be fulfilling the will of God while we're here in the earth. That His will be done in the earth as it's being done in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Jesus loves His church. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation chapter 1. excuse me, I'm going to take my time with this, because I think this is so important to us. After all, the first chapter only has 20 verses. So what I'm going to do is begin at verse 1 and just read some. Is that all right? And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants things which must shortly take place. And He sent and sanctified it by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw." Now, this is... How many, anybody in here, when folk talk about the book of Revelation, you'd get nervous? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, used to. Amen. But you know what? We shouldn't. Matter of fact, the believers should be rejoicing. It's a time of rejoicing for us. Look at verse 3. It says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy." Hallelujah. "And keep those things that are written in it, for the time is near." Hallelujah. When we read the book of Revelation, we should rejoice. Because I'm here to tell you, for most of it, we're not going to be here anyway. Hallelujah. We're not going to be here to tribulate. We'll be caught away. Glory to God. Now, let's read on. "John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits," or we'd say sevenfold spirit, "who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth." Hallelujah. Some of these guys think they got it all together, think they know all the answers. No, they don't. No, they don't. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is there an amen out here somewhere? Glory be to God. I've been washed from my sins by the blood of Jesus. Let me say that again. I've been washed from my sins by the blood of Jesus who loved me. Even when I was unlovable, he loved me anyway. He died for me anyway. He shedded his blood for me anyway. And you too. Thank you, Jesus. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Hallelujah. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says who? Says who?
The Lord.
Hallelujah. Who is and who was and who is to come. I read this to you before. The who?
Almighty.
The Almighty. Hallelujah. Now let's go on to verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience, and he's not talking about the great tribulation here, talking about trials and things we deal with. Amen. Let me begin verse 9 again. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Now, if that don't give you hope, I don't know what can. Nothing can. Jesus has already declared, I am the beginning and I am the last. There's nobody after him. No one is before him. He is Almighty God for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read it again, verse 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see, this will bless you, listen to this. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstand, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid." And what else did he say? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And listen to what else he said. I am he who lives and was dead. Somebody say was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death, and of death. King James Version says hell and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after that. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Hallelujah. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Now, I want you to notice something here. Notice something here. I want to read verse 20 again. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And the seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches. Now, what I want you to do is let's look back. At verse 12 of chapter 1, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and listen to this, and in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, and then it goes on to describe him. But this is the part I want you to grab a hold of. The seven lampstands, or if you have a King James Bible, candlesticks, but it means lampstand, are the churches, the seven churches. I want you to notice something here. Jesus was in the midst of the seven churches. Amen. But I want to tell you something else. Jesus is in the midst of every church that will glorify him. You hear me? Every church that will glorify him, he is right there. In the midst. Didn't he say, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, what did he say? There I am in the midst of them. Why don't somebody shout out, welcome, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I want you to understand something. Jesus cares very much about what's going on in the church. And that's the reason we as the church should put forth every effort to please him. And not want to do our own thing, which comes to nothing. Now, I want to tell y'all something. When John wrote this, notice it talks about the end time. Last days. Now, I believe with all my heart that we are living in the last of the last days. Amen. But the last days began on the day of Pentecost. The church age, the last days. And I don't have time to get in all that tonight, but I want you to understand. They were looking for Jesus Christ. Not too long after he ascended into heaven. But they didn't understand the church. There's a lot that they didn't understand. There's some things that they had to learn. And so it's been around 2,000 years now since Jesus ascended. But I'm here to tell you now we're in the last of the last days. And we had better be about our Father's business. It's not about my thing, it's about him. Make this confession after me. Say, I don't belong to me.
I belong to him.
I am bought and paid for.
By the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let us move on here. Hallelujah. As I said, Jesus loves his church, and he is in the midst of his church. Now, the church must be fed the word of God. That's one of the reasons you come to church, to hear the word of God, to be fed the word of God. But we don't want to just come to church to get fat. Hear me. Stay with me. We don't want to come to church to get fat on the word of God. Oh, we got so much word. We got so much word. We got so much word. But then you have to ask yourself the question, what am I doing with the word that I'm hearing? The word that I'm feeding on? Well, I think in the book of James, James makes that pretty clear. Turn back to the first chapter of the book of James. first chapter of the book of James. If anything that Jesus is in the midst of is going to change, there will be a transformation taking place. If he's invited in, some things are going to change. That's the reason some folk don't want to walk with the Lord, because they don't want to change. You have the first chapter, James. Look at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But, everybody say but. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I don't want to live a life of deception, thinking I'm okay. I'm doing my own thing, though, but I think I'm all right, because, you know, I may be pretty bad, but I'm not as bad as Brother John Doe. You know, he does things that I would never do. So, you know, and he's a deacon, or he's a preacher or whatever. Listen. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. You compare yourself with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty, remember me ministering that? That's the word of God, right? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be what? Blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. We're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's go back to the book of Revelation. I'll continue on for a few minutes. Like I told you, I'm not sure how far we'll get. But if you go to chapter 2, the very first verse, it says, to the angel of the churches of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven lampstands. There it is again. Hallelujah. Now, the Greek word for angel here is angelos, which simply means messenger. Messenger. Now, I believe that when Jesus says unto the angels, I believe he was talking to the pastors. The pastors of the seven churches. The pastor is the messenger to the churches. He's the one that the Holy Spirit uses. Speaks through. I'm talking about a yielded pastor. Not one doing his or her own thing. The pastor is the messenger. I get asked from time to time, hey, pastor, what's your message for Sunday? What's your message? What do you think the Lord is saying? Now, I find this to be very interesting. I'm going to get somebody to participate with me. I'm going to turn these on, both mics. Who wants a mic? Okay. All right. You want a mic?
Yeah.
Okay. You got your Bible? You're going to be reading from the Word of God. All right. Now, we're talking about this word angel here for a moment, which means messenger. And I've heard both sides of that, but I believe it's talking to the pastors, the leaders of the churches. All right. Kathy, I want you to find Mark chapter 11, verse 10. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. You, King James or New King James, either one. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. Pat, I want you to find Mark chapter 1, and you'll be reading verse 1 through 4. Kathy, do you have it? Verse 10. Now, what I'm doing here, let me explain what I'm doing here. That word angelos is found in other places in the Bible other than Revelation. And this is one of the reasons I believe it's not talking about an angel. It's talking about the leader of the church. Okay? Do you have it, Kathy? Read it for us.
For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.
Who is this messenger he's talking about? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Same word, angelos, that you find used in the seven churches. Messenger. All right, Pat, do you have Mark chapter 4? I mean, chapter 1? Okay, now, while she's reading chapter 1, Kathy, I'd like for you to find Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Go ahead, Pat.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
Amen. Now this is Mark's version of what Matthew spoke about. Again, that word messenger is angelos. How many of you know John the Baptist was not an angel? He was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God, not an angel. But he was a messenger. Okay? All right, Kathy, I want you to read when I tell you Luke chapter 7, beginning of only two verses, just verse 24 and verse 27. And Pat, I want you to go to Luke chapter 9 and read verse 51 through 53. So, Kathy, Luke 7, 24 and 27.
When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Verse 27.
Yeah.
This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you."
All right. We've gone to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Referring to John the Baptist, each one used the Greek word angelos, which simply means messenger. Now, I have one more reference, and then we'll move on. Pat, go to the book of James, chapter 2. Read verse 25 to us, please. James chapter 2, verse 25.
Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?
Y'all remember Rahab? She hid the spies, didn't she? Right here, the spies are referred to as messengers, angelos. Now, I know we read a number of verses here, but I want to establish this is the same Greek word that we find in Revelation referring to the churches. Now, I have heard some say, well, you know, he's talking about an angel, and I will, you know, I won't get in a debate with anybody over this, but my thinking is this: why would Jesus need to use the Apostle John to write to an angel, and that angel is going to communicate to the church? Usually it's the other way around. The angel delivers the messenger from God to man, not man to the angel. So I believe here that he's talking to the pastors or the leaders or leader of the churches. Are y'all with me on that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you look up the word pastor in the New Testament, you're going to find the Greek word poimen, which simply means shepherd, one who tends the flock, guides the flock, oversees the flock, and also feeds the flock. But in this case, the pastors or leaders had specific orders from the chief shepherd of the church. And the Lord said to the church, he has a message for Ephesus and the other six churches. Oh, by the way, we better learn from these messages as well. It's not just for them. We must examine ourselves and see if we're guilty of any of the wrong things that these churches were doing. Hallelujah. You still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I also believe, and some may disagree, that the stars are referring also to the leader of the churches. Jesus holds them in his right hand. That's the reason. Let me tell you something. You folks can't pray for me too much. Let me say that again. You folks cannot pray for me too much. Not, and I'm just talking about me right now, but this applies to every pastor. Every leader needs prayer. Because we're the ones that stand before the congregation and preaches to them the word of God. And we got to make sure that it is the word of God and that we're hearing the word of God. And not only that, but that we are led by the Spirit of God. I say this from time to time, you know, being a pastor is, I consider it an honor. You hear me? I consider it an honor. I'm here, I'm first, let me be the first to tell you, it's not an easy job.
Amen.
Let me say that again. It's not an easy job. It ain't always comfortable. But I also tell you something else. I don't want to be doing anything else. Why? Because that's God's call on my life. But I need prayers. Every pastor needs prayer. When the Word of God talks about praying for those in authority and those in leadership, it's not only talking about those in natural authority, like you know, kings and presidents and judges and all those folks that impact our lives or affect our lives because of the decision they make, be they good, be they bad. We need to pray for them, but we also need to pray for our spiritual leaders.
Amen.
We need to pray for our spiritual leaders. Amen. It's real easy to talk about what we don't like about them. But let's change that to praying for them in the spirit. What I mean by that is other tongues and in English. Because it is an awesome responsibility, which takes me back to where I was earlier. I don't understand why anybody would just want to jump into the pastoral ministry without knowing that God called them there. Some folks get into the ministry because they see dollar signs. They think, oh, offerings, 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 and more offerings. No, you need to have spent time with God and know that you know that you know that's where God is taking you. Is there at least one more amen out there somewhere? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I could take it further. We're going to talk about the Church of Ephesus probably next week now. But it, like I told you, there's some things I wanted to cover with you first before we go into and talk about what Jesus was pleased with concerning Ephesus and what he was displeased with. But the purpose of me ministering on this is so that we can learn. It's much easier to learn from somebody else's mistakes rather than making the same mistake yourself. If I'm driving down the road behind a vehicle and all of a sudden that vehicle disappears, goes down, I'm going to hit the brakes, brother. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna hit them nice and tight. We need to learn. And that's the reason. You ever notice one thing about God? And this applies to the Old Testament and the New Testament. He didn't hide the sins and the mistakes of his people. It's out there for all of us to see. What about Abraham, the man of faith? Tried to get rid of his wife. Went in and had a relationship with his wife's maid, I think it was. God gave him a promise, but that wasn't it. God doesn't cover up anything, but they are there so that you and I can learn and not make the same mistakes. So when we read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, when we see the bad stuff that's done, we learn from it. We see the good stuff that's done, we are to learn from it. Hallelujah. So these churches had some positives and they had some negatives, and we need to learn from both. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that will never, ever return unto you.